Welcome to episode 131 of the British Birdman Breakdown, the first UK-based Arizona Cardinals podcast that reached triple digits, talking about the first team to double-digit wins in the 2021 NFL season. What more can you ask for? As always, I'm Tom, and I'm joined by Callum to break down win number 10 of the year.
Win number 10. It's been a while since we've talked about a win number 10, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some bleak years, haven't we, since, you know, the highs of a few years ago, at least.
This is one of those wins where it's kind of putting yourself back on the map a little bit and kind of reminding people, like, okay, the offense is there. And it's one of those wins also that when you talk about the team that you beat, the only answer is like, well, of course you should have beaten them, right? You know, of course you should have won that game, but obviously hugely excited to have not lost it and been, you know, national embarrassment.
I mean, yeah, everyone would have been piling on the Cardinals, wouldn't they, had they lost that game, but thankfully that was not the case.
So yeah, despite some horrible weather, which I'm sure we'll get onto, and some, you know, interesting stats for a game, we got the win, and 10-2 was a good place to be.
And yet not as interesting statistically as, say, Monday Night Football last night.
Yeah, indeed. When I think that's the first time in, like, since 2001 or something that a team's lost to a team that only threw three passes. That's wild.
I mean, Meatloaf did say it best, you know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Hey, it's all they needed, you know. If, like, I was actually thinking, because I watched the highlights just before this, and I was thinking about how miserable that would be to watch as a Cardinals game, because we've got a good run game going. You know, we've got James Conner, and presumably if Chase Edmonds was fit as well, would be laughing with being able to score points. But given our poor run defense, I think we would just be getting scored on every single drive.
And you say there was highlights for that game?
Yeah, I was watching the highlights on Game Pass.
I'm amazed. You know, how can you get highlights from free passes?
It wasn't just the pass. I mean, there was weird, like, kick returns, and did receivers touch the ball and not. It was an interesting game.
I might actually have a look at this later then.
Oh yeah, I'd recommend it. But it got me thinking. It got me looking at the rest of the Cardinals' schedule to see if we had any snowy games to remain or any potential snowy games to remain. And I don't think we do for the rest of the season, unless there's some odd freak weather events.
And also in the playoffs, you know, we want the hashtag no Lambo, as Paul Calvisi likes to say.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be a stadium to skip, I think.
I mean, should we talk about some news, even though we haven't really got any news?
Yeah, I guess this is kind of following on from a story that we've been covering for a few weeks now as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, this week there is the news coming out that Cliff Kingsbury is not going to be the head coach of Oklahoma. Apparently they found their guy, Terry Venables, or something like that.
Yeah, at least we can hold on to Cliff. I wonder how serious those rumours ever actually got. But as we sort of said then, can you imagine him leaving this project at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a weird one. And, like, it did seem to move pretty quickly. Like, they did seem to get their guy, like, maybe early last week.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Cliff Kingsbury rumours had anything behind them, did they? Because of how quickly that proved to not be the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, if you're in that situation, you know, you got to throw out as many names as possible. And it's probably, as we said at the time, really good for Cliff Kingsbury and his management to, you know, to be able to show that he's got other offers on the table that he can turn down for the Cardinals, you know, for his option year next year.
Don't know, I think was said by Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell to him.
What do you think?
I think he was told pre-season, you know, we got to be looking at maybe extending you this season. So what we're going to do is, for every win the Cardinals get, you're going to have $1 million per year for each win.
Mm.
So you say, like, he wins like 12 games this season for the Cardinals. That's a contract worth $12 million a year.
I could see that, actually, you know.
What better incentive, isn't it?
I mean, it's a pretty good way of doing it, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's definitely some sort of performance incentive in there, but it would be interesting if it was that much of a scale.
I mean, yeah, of course, it doesn't include playoff games because, you know, They're not made of money, these Cardinals.
I was going to say, just add an extra like 5-6. Although, I mean, if it gets us to 2 and winning a Super Bowl, I'd take an extra 5-6 5-6 mil out of the cap with that.
To be honest, I'd just have them a blank check as they write it.
Yeah, fair, fair. Well, actually, speaking of Cliff Kingsbury's plays, and I was going to say something funny about his playbook there, but I'll keep it for the game review because we do, in fact, have a game to break down this week, and that is the Arizona Cardinals beating the Chicago Bears 33-22.
Yeah, and there's a funny note here because the Niners beat the Bears with the exact same scoreline just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's a really odd one because despite the fact it's not scoreigami, it is a really rare score.
Yeah, I think you said it happened like maybe 6 times before in the entire history of the league.
This was the 6th, so yeah, not very common, and yet the Bears have lost twice to that score this season.
I suppose we should start off with some negatives from this game, though, because, you know, even though we did score 33 points and got win number 10, we did give up 22 points and a lot of yardage to one person in particular.
Yeah, indeed. Definitely not the perfect game. And I've already alluded to it this podcast, but the old bugbears coming home to roost, and that is poor run defense.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get the statistics in total, but, you know, David Montgomery was basically the thorn in the Cardinals' side, whereas for the Bears, their thorn in the side was Andy Dalton.
Yeah, that wasn't great for them, but we can save him for our positives, actually. Whereas, yeah, David Montgomery, it seemed to be not only the sort of main eligible target for Andy Dalton, but just completely no answer to him on the ground either.
And yet they seemed to go away from him for quite a bit of the game as well.
I guess maybe it was a case of trying to keep him fresh or something. You never know if he got like maybe dinged up or something like that.
I mean, yeah, obviously the way they seemed to run him ragged into the ground every single season, it seems like he does break down every now and then.
And, you know, if he like, I don't know, like let's say sprained his thumb or something like that, and they just thought, okay, like, well, like, let's keep him out of the firing line for a little bit, you know, not put him into the trenches every single time. That gives him a little bit of time to get righted, but you don't want to take him out of the game because given he's been such a good threat for you to that point, you want to keep him in there basically as a bluff.
I mean, I think it's fair to say he was their only threat really in that game.
I would say so. I mean, like, I'm struggling to think of any big passes they had. I think they had like that one big 33-yard pass down to, was it Murphy or somebody like that? But other than that, you know.
That was when Andy Dalton threw it to Byron Murphy, our player.
Oh, we'll get onto those. We'll get onto those for sure. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I do think there's an element of why they ran the ball so often, not just because we were covering it so well, but also because of the weather.
And also the fact that Andy Dalton was their quarterback, I think.
And also the fact that Andy Dalton was the quarterback. You can't forget that.
I know, yeah, we have to keep rubbing that in here, don't we? I mean, that's 2 years in a row. He's had miserable games against the Cardinals, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's had nightmares against us.
But yeah, I think for sure, poor game from him, but that weather can't have helped, because it definitely didn't help the Cardinals either, because it looked cold and wet and windy, and I think some of the British Bird Gang were over in Soldier Field watching that, which sounds, you know, it sounds like it was a fun game to watch for them, but also I wouldn't fancy standing out in the stands for that.
I mean, it was basically they took the weather over there with them, didn't they? Maybe just a little bit colder than they used to.
Yeah, that's true. I think you've got it in the notes here that it's basically Stoke-on-Trent weather.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, not that there's much difference between Chicago and Stoke-on-Trent, is there?
Well, I have heard Stoke-on-Trent described as the Chicago of the north, north-ish.
It's true. It's true. I mean, yeah, north-ish, you know. That's another debate for another time.
Yeah, but no, I think ultimately you could say that it disrupted the passing efforts of both teams. A couple drop balls, a couple of bungled snaps here and there. These are the sort of things that happen when you play a sport like this outdoors in the middle of winter in some of the coldest cities in the on the continent. So, you know, it's a bit miserable, but ultimately, you know, they overcame those elements to on the way to the win.
Yeah, I mean, a couple more fumbles to add to the Kyler Murray collection this year. Even though they're probably not his fault, they still go down credited to him, don't they?
And also, apparently, we lost a bunch of our playbook literally to the weather, because apparently Cliff Kingsbury's playbook was water damaged during the game.
Is that true? I thought I was just making a joke about that, but I thought he just meant, you know, because of the conditions they weren't able to do it. Was it the fact it was actually wet?
I've seen a few people suggesting that that was an actual thing, because there was, like, you know, the way he was like folding it over and wringing it out and trying to get new ones and stuff like that. Although he was also, this is also partly during the time when he was, you know, bleeding a bunch because he got taken out by one of his own players on the sidelines.
Yeah, I suppose we should call that a negative as well, you know? Like, you throw tube damaging our Cliff King's beautiful face.
Yeah, exactly. It was a strange one, though, wasn't it? Like, that's definitely not something you see every day.
I mean, there were people joking about possibly, is that going to be the end of Lecky throw tube in Arizona?
That's the final straw.
Nah, I don't think he'd do that, would he? I mean, he's a pretty good player for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I've got two pretty good players listed as my final negative for the game. And that is that Zach Allen got a pick and Jordan Hicks got a sack in complete disregard for their nicknames.
And it was ridiculous, isn't it? Where's Zach Allen and Jordan Hicks at?
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's just the long wrong way around. But both of them had an excellent game, so I can't keep them too much in the negatives.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, isn't it? I mean, we will talk about them again in the positives, which, you know, we may as well get onto now because another Cardinals win. Why don't we just talk about most of the episode for that?
I think largely as well, like, it's a positive overall game for us, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely silenced a lot of the critics, you know, like, thinking, yeah, the Cardinals coming off a bye with under Cliff Kingsbury, they've never won a single game, have they? Up until this one.
Yeah, it's been an odd mix for us, and I think, you know, on top of that, people were looking at it and sort of saying, like, oh, well, it's Kyler coming back after 4 weeks away and Hopkins coming back after 4 weeks away. And it's like, oh, they won't be that dynamic. And for sure, that particular connection wasn't there. But, you know, we've already discussed the reasons that that might be. And yeah, I think, you know, coming back and having maybe not reflected so much in the scoreline, but definitely reflected in the actual flow of the game, a dominant win over admittedly a team that we should be dominating, you know, it was necessary, as you said, to silence the critics.
But of course, there is some nice statistics to go along with the victory as well. If the Cardinals joining the Cardinals are joining the 68 Cowboys and the 84 Niners as the third team in NFL history to ever win 7 straight away games by 10 plus points.
I mean, how can you, as a pundit, be sleeping on the Cardinals with that?
I mean, you've not really beaten anyone away from home, have they, you know? Only, like, you know, the Rams, you know, the Titans, you know. No one bigger, obviously.
Yeah, none of the big teams, none of the good teams they've played away from home. Yeah. No, they've...
I think they just play the Jets every week, aren't they, away from home?
And according to some pundits, for some reason, they're saying, oh, yeah, we're winning by, like, 7 points on the road or something like that. And it's like, well, no, that's clearly wrong. Yeah, just outstanding overall performance, really.
It's American education for you, though, isn't it, thinking 7 points is double digits, you know? probably the metric system or imperial, you know, it was one of them.
It was a strange one, but yeah, big. I mean, I actually didn't know that it was only the third team in history to do that, because, you know, it's come along so slowly, but yeah, that's pretty wild. It's been a really good record away from home.
And they have got a decent chance at extending it another week, haven't they? When they played Detroit in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, exactly. And the Cowboys, I think, are the only other team that we've got, which is, you know, more difficult, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? Who knows what it's going to be like in a couple of weeks' time? Well, not even a couple of weeks, it'll be like even longer away.
Yeah, and we've seen the Cowboys be quite streaky as well, so it depends where they're at with that.
And of course, I've got one more statistic before we get on to another the main positives of the episode.
Go on.
The Cardinals had zero turnovers for the fifth straight away game, and they're just the fifth team since 1933 to do that. And they do have a chance at tying the record because that is only six games.
That's pretty wild. So it's like basically if they don't commit a turnover against the Lions, like record holding for that.
Basically like the greatest team ever, I think, surely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think ultimately we've talked about the turnover battle quite a lot on this podcast over the year. And yeah, zero turnovers, I think, is obviously a huge part of why we won this game. And in fact, you know, you could argue that also the four turnovers that were given to us would have been a big part of that as well. So actually, that's a good excuse. Should we talk about the defense a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we can do because, you know, we should may as well kick off the defense with this episode because, you know, they had a really, really good outing. Granted, it was against Andy Dalton, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and obviously, we've spoken about the issues with Montgomery, but, you know, they basically shut down the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really much to say for their passing game. I mean, like, we came into the game, there's like the highly rated Darnell Mooney, and I think he maybe had like two or three catches, and most of the other time he was either covered well by Byron Murphy, or even Marco Wilson got on him a couple of times.
A big tackle from Wilson as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the most impressive tackle I've seen him make, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with how highly rated, like I say, Mooney is with Chicago and around the league. So, yeah, you know, nice to see that from a fourth round rookie.
And not just that, but you know that the pass rush was doing their job as well because four interceptions were picked up by the secondary. So that's one each for Byron Murphy, Buda Baker, Jalen Thompson, and even Zach Allen got in on the fun.
I'm not sure he's in the secondary though, is he?
Well, he was basically in the secondary for that play. I mean, with the size of paw that he had, he could have been anywhere on the field.
I don't think we'll be seeing Vance Joseph put him in safety, though, anytime soon.
Probably not. But he did do an excellent job and unfortunately had the dubious honour of being tackled by Andy Dalton for his trouble. But again, you know, all four of those interceptions, absolutely crucial. And all four led to, essentially the four scores.
Well, yeah, they did, didn't they? Because every single time they were brought back into like really good field position, like inside the red zone.
Yeah.
And Scott Hansen saw us quite a bit, didn't he, on Sunday?
Yeah. And I think, you know, as well, if you're Kyler Murray at that point, you're just unwrapping a gift there, aren't you? Like, give Kyler Murray the ball in the red zone. I think there's a good solid chance you're coming away with 6 points there.
Well, yeah, you know, especially with like the threat he has with his legs, which, you know,
exactly.
Gladly we did see a bit more of that from him in this game, despite, you know, all the concerns about is the field going to be too slippy and we're going to hold him up for yet another week.
Yeah, big time. And you know, I think, especially given the fact that he was out with an ankle injury like that, you know, it's really good to see him looking and feeling confident on that ankle as well, you know, including running through, what, like five defenders at one point, like literally half the Bears defense.
Yeah, and I think it was his first touchdown run, where he basically managed to get two.
The bootleg one.
Yeah, he was like 8 yards out or so, and like he beat two defenders, and then he was even too quick to get in the end zone before three other defenders converged on him.
Yep.
And like he was completely untouched throughout all of it as well.
Which is exactly what you want to see, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, the less hits Kyler takes, the better. I mean, we've said that all along, haven't we?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Anytime that you can get him as well protected as possible. And, you know, considering that he only threw the ball, what, like 15 times in that game?
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? You know, but like, that's just how the game was dictated for them.
Yeah, in a way it was, you know, like lack of possession as well. But additionally, I mean, like, you know, weather, general circumstances mean that you're going to want to throw it less. But yeah, only throwing the ball 15 times and yet coming away with four touchdowns. That's pretty electric. And that's you know, that's the kind of play that you're going to need if you're going into the postseason.
Can I just say as well, before we move on to the offense, can we feel for Buda Baker once again? Because he was denied a pick six after one player decided to tackle him.
Yeah.
Someday that's got to come for him.
It is, yeah, for sure. And if he keeps putting himself in those situations, he's going to get there. But it's especially heartbreaking because he does it with such long fields, you know, and gets denied at like the 5-yard line or something.
I think he did make the mistake though of trying to hurdle Andy Dalton. You know, like, had he stayed on the sidelines, he might have just jogged into the end zone.
I think possibly, yeah. It's a tricky one. I mean, obviously, like at that time, but Andy Dalton's like not one of the smaller QBs. He's quite a big guy from what I remember, and he's just going to have the arm span to be able to like just catch you by the shoelaces, you know, even if you try and hurdle him.
Yeah, I mean, even he managed to drag down Zach Allen as well, which, you know, is a pretty big feat in itself.
Yeah, a QB tackling a defensive end, that's pretty hardcore.
Granted, it was pretty high up though, so he should have got flagged for it, but, you know, the referee crew wasn't particularly great, was it, in that game?
To be fair, I think from the look of it, Zach Allen didn't care either. He just got up, did his dumb wee dance, and then went to the sideline, like, having a great time.
And I mean, it's obviously good to see, you know, like, J.J. Watt would have taken that for six, clearly, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I do think there's an element still, and you can see it in the way that J.J.'s on the sidelines and the way that the players interact with him when you do see it, that he's really almost taking on a job as an extra coach for that unit.
Have you noticed he's not wearing a sling anymore, though?
Yeah, I have. And I've seen some interesting rumours that he might be back before the postseason, which would be unbelievable.
I mean, it just defies medical belief if that's the case, you know. Considering what he supposedly did, you know, coming back so soon. Like, I mean, he still might not come back, but, you know.
If he does, we need to get Russell Wilson's surgeon in to tweet about it.
Why? Because since then, Russell Wilson's played like garbage. So maybe
I was just meaning to tweet about how he's the best ever at, at healing his shoulder or whatever it was.
Maybe the Cardinals' social media can do a piss take of it, you know, because that's what they like to do.
Is there much more to say about the defense? I think, I guess that one of my sort of things that I was impressed by, and it's part of the reason that that Chicago was able to score 22 points, and stop me if I'm wrong here, but I got the impression that the Cardinals were out there just giving the Bears exactly what they needed to just get another first down and basically keep them on the field for as long as possible, you know, allow them to score eventually, but just like let them absolutely wind the clock down.
What, just so they could get Edelman out of the rain and wet?
Well, it was. I think I'm thinking specifically kind of later on into the fourth quarter and stuff like that. You know, just allow them to keep thinking they've got the chance to score, and it's that bend don't break defense that we've talked about quite a lot.
That's basically the Cardinals' defense to a T, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it was on fine display here.
I mean, we can talk about the offense now, though, you know, because even though the defense did such a great job, the offense still put up 33 points. So let's give them some love.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we've obviously already spoken about, you know, Kyler's return, which is obviously a huge catalyst, I think, not just for the offense in general, but just the feeling of the offense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously having Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins back, you know, is a massive thing for the offense. Like, even though I think Hopkins only had two catches, Kyler Murray did only throw 15 passes. So it's not like there was that many passes to go around, was there?
Yeah, I think Kingsbury after the game was saying that he had quite a lot of angry wide receivers on his hands because he just wasn't calling enough pass plays.
I mean, I could imagine that in like plenty of other locker rooms, you know, that could be like disastrous, but considering the Cardinals have won 10 games, I'm sure they'll let it slide, won't they?
Yeah, I think so. And given that it worked out for them, you know, and obviously with the ball not going to the wide receivers, it was having to go somewhere, and that somewhere was basically James Conner.
I mean, to be fair, Kyler Murray did run quite a bit on his first game back after injury, wasn't he?
He wasn't standing in the pocket like everyone expected, and a lot of those were designed QB runs as well.
Yeah, I mean, on his second rushing touchdown of the day, that was his 20th of his career. And he's the first player in NFL history to have 60 plus passing touchdowns and 20 plus rushing touchdowns in his first 41 games. How's that for a specific statistic?
I did see he picked up quite a few records on Sunday and became, you know, the youngest guy to do this and that, which is great. It's great to see.
Yeah, I think he was like the fourth youngest to ever pass for 10,000 yards, wasn't it, or something along those lines?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that these guys keep track of these little things, but, you know, I'm just imagining him sitting there with a sore ankle going like, oh, if only I was out there against San Francisco, I would have got that already. If only I was out there against Carolina, I would have got that already, you know. But yeah, he picked up the records regardless.
But the most prestigious thing he picked up was the British Birkdown Player of the Game Award.
Yeah, second of the season. So that ties him with, was that JJ Watt and James Conner, right?
That's correct, yes. With 62% of the vote, which is the exact same percentage that Colt McCoy got in the game before the bye.
Oh, really?
Strange how that happens.
Yeah, I think people are just glad to see him back for sure.
And speaking of James Conner, you know, he continues to do his thing, now up to 14 total touchdowns on the season, with just four Cardinals having more than that in one season in history, with David Johnson on 20, John David Crow on 17, and both Sonny Randall and Mal Kuttner with 15 each.
So he gets into joint third with the next one, and then, I mean, basically, like, as we've sort of said, if he keeps up the pace of just getting about one a game, he gets the record, right?
And we can erase David Johnson from history. Which would be nice.
I think he's busy doing that himself, to be honest.
And of course, we get to mention John David Crow again.
Yes, such a great name. Love to do. He's got three first names.
To be fair, I don't know of any kids named Crow, but, you know, America probably has many Crows.
It would be a cool kid, you know, just like the goth kid.
Can imagine now, yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, obviously a bit of a highlight on his return. Basically down to that one touchdown play.
Yeah, I mean, obviously nice to see him back on the field. Just not nice. We didn't see much of him. I mean, it was out there playing. It's just the fact we didn't really need to throw the ball because Andy Dalton kept throwing it to us. Given us exactly. The good field position.
Still, you know, we'll take it, I guess.
I'm sure he'll be happy having a touchdown, his eighth of the season.
Yeah, which, you know, he's starting to get up there, and I suspect that, you know, we'll be seeing a bit more DeAndre Hopkins coming into the fold over the next couple of weeks as well, which is great to see, and obviously, like, excellent to have him back and looking healthy for the playoff push.
Especially when he's going to be playing in warmer climates, you know, I'm sure he'll be happy about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, there's fairly good climates and domes for the rest of the season, so that's always nice.
Just as long as hashtag no Lambo happens.
Well, as long as the Cardinals keep winning, they're going to do it, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, that's the only thing they can keep doing. As long as they take care of their business, who cares about anyone else?
Yep, because we're currently beating, so we're 10-2. And obviously the Packers are, 9-3?
9-3, yes. So we've got a game lead over them. But they do have the head-to-head, obviously, should they manage to match our record.
Yeah, indeed. That being said, you know, the rest of the run we've got a potentially threatening game against LA, potentially threatening game against the Cowboys. But as we mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, this is not us now into the softer part of the schedule for the Cardinals.
I mean, to be fair, the Colts shouldn't be slept on either with the way that Jonathan Taylor's playing.
That is true, yeah. I keep forgetting about the Colts because just every so often they sort of show up in my red zone viewing. And I see them pull off something very good, but, you know, I don't know. We shall see. Should we get on to having a look at the fantasy football?
Yeah, I think we may as well, because, you know, we've talked about reality football. Let's go back to fantasy football, where, you know, the Big Grand Bowl dreamed through for me. I mean, they've been over since probably week 8 when I was 0-8, but, you know, wasn't able to win this
definitely
week,
over. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they're dead and buried now. I don't even bother to write it down, because I can't be bothered.
Meanwhile, I actually came away with a win there, having beat first place last week. I beat second place this week to improve to 5-8, but that still puts me in ninth position overall. The league there is actually becoming really, really tight. And in fact, playoff positions are only two wins away for me, or thereabouts. So, you know, it's possible, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I think we've only got 2 weeks left, haven't we? This week and next, before the playoffs.
We do, but it is possible. And like the whole spread is only like 4 or 5 games or something like that from top to bottom, so it can all change pretty quickly.
I mean, we should probably do a breakdown between like the other Big Grand Bowl leagues, but that could be for another week. We've got preparation time.
We'll do it in another week once we know where everyone settles in. But the Dynasty League, however, definitely not looking so good for me. Despite the fact that I'm 4-9 there, I did in fact lose to you this week, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to crow about it, am I? Surely not. Yeah, but yeah, the score this week, 208.6 to 121.8, thanks to 30 plus points from Chris Godwin and Deontay Johnson. Dallas Goedert as well also started well, and I think that was the first time I've actually played him.
I mean, it's you had some pretty good ones, and like the closest I had really to a good performance from about anyone was having Jordan Hicks on my bench.
I mean, yeah, it could have been a lot closer this game, but it is what it is.
I think that would have still put it like 60-point differential or something like that. But yeah, I mean, really just not having a good time with injuries and stuff in that league. I think it's a tricky one, because a lot of the players that I have injured are in my, you know, like these are players to build a team around kind of zone. So I don't want to be getting rid of them just for a temporary fix, especially in a season when I'm not going to win anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It makes more sense, you know, why Derrick Henry was starting for you, along with other inactive players.
Well, I've got basically a bench full of inactive players, so I don't think I had any active running backs at all on my roster.
And I think you've used up all your reserve spots as well, haven't you?
Yeah. So I'm full.
I mean, I'm not particularly expecting much from the league, but I mean, I am only maybe one or two games off the playoffs with two to play, so there's still a chance,
yeah,
I suppose.
It's still within your shot, and obviously, I guess if you're winning that, then you've got your best chance to stay in. But yeah, definitely, I'm not having a good time in that league right now.
I mean, depending on the result this coming week, the week after could be a huge game, because my opponent is a person who's currently fourth in the playoff standings.
Oh, so you've potentially got a win in your end situation.
Potentially. I mean, it depends how all results go this week, so, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Losing 4 games in a row didn't help me, I suppose.
Never does. Oh, still, well, at least the Cardinals are doing better than both of us, eh?
I mean, I'll take Cardinals success in real life over fantasy football success any day.
Yeah, for sure. What about weekly pick'ems? I think we had an all right week in the weekly pick'ems.
Yeah, I mean, my result this week was 10-4. It would have been 11-3, but, you know, Buffalo decided not to win last night, sadly. And of course, there were those other 3 teams that I chose to win that lost. Yep. So, balls to them as well.
I think this week we've got quite a few differences in our choices, though, because the ones that we're going together for, we're both picking Tennessee to beat Jacksonville, Kansas City to beat the Raiders, New Orleans to beat the Jets, Dallas over the Washington football team, Carolina over Atlanta, the Seahawks over Houston, Denver over Detroit, Chargers over the Giants, Green Bay over Chicago, which leaves us with four differences this week. So, you know,
I mean, I would happily say, you know, Chicago can beat the Bears. That Chicago can beat the Packers.
So. Oh, that would be amazing if they would.
Anything in the NFC race will take it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, that would make it just less likely that they catch up to us record wise. But yeah, in the Pittsburgh Minnesota game, I'm going to take Pittsburgh, I think, over Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why I've picked Minnesota in here, but you know, they are coming in off the back of losing humiliatingly to the Detroit Lions.
That being said, I think Pittsburgh had a win this week, but they've just looked dreadful for about 4 weeks now. So, and I think as well, like they probably won't be in the best place morale wise because Big Ben is not looking like he's returning. Although maybe that will give them a boost of morale. Who knows? But yeah, I think for me, given the fact that Minnesota was beaten by the Lions and Patrick Peterson gave up a walk-off touchdown in the final minutes, you know, I'm taking Pittsburgh.
I think the thing is, though, you say that, but the only reason the Pittsburgh Steelers won this week was because Baltimore tried to go for a two-point conversion to win the game as opposed
That's
to taking
true,
it to
actually.
Overtime.
That is true, actually. Then again, you've still got to get Baltimore into that position, which I think is still, you know, impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pittsburgh have got good players, but Ben Roethlisberger is finished and probably has been for maybe two or three years.
Easily.
So now, he's going to be holding them back. God knows how long, isn't he?
Yeah, but I do also think that Minnesota is just not a great team this year either.
I mean, you've got a chance at the playoffs, possibly.
Yeah, but that's in the NFC North, and we've already discussed the fact that the Bears still, or the Lions still have a chance in that division as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Should we move on to our next, well, which our next difference would be?
San Fran and Cincinnati.
Where I've decided to go for Cincinnati.
Yep, and I'm going for San Fran based on the fact that they're like seven in a row or something stupid like that. They've won like every game since we played them, except for the Seattle game, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, the run did come to a halt this past weekend.
But yeah, I'm going... Cincinnati's a hard one, though, because I've been following them a bit more because I've got quite a few fantasy players across various leagues with Cincy. And they do have it in them to play well. They do have it in them to score. But for some reason, they just keep not showing up in key moments.
Yeah, I think they need to do a bit better job protecting Joe Burrow because he's taken a lot of sacks this year, especially in the game against the LA Chargers. Like, anytime I seemed to switch it on, it was like, oh yes, that's Joe Burrow being sacked yet again.
I do wonder if Joe Burrow is maybe like not that mobile after his injury last year.
I mean, he still managed to score a rushing touchdown, so he's definitely got legs back still.
Yeah, but perhaps, you know, they're sort of telling him not to risk it as much or giving him longer checkdowns before he can run.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone for Cincinnati in this one just because, you know, I want to see San Francisco lose. And also the fact they're going on to the East Coast for this one, aren't they? And it'll be an early kickoff for them.
That is true. That's always a tricky one. But no, I think I'm going to take San Francisco still. I've seen them pull some pretty good performances out. I've actually got no idea how they're doing personnel-wise, but yeah, I could see San Fran taking on Cincy quite well there. Meanwhile, we've then got Baltimore versus Cleveland. Baltimore coming off that loss to Pittsburgh that we spoke about. And Cleveland kind of in no man's land.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, Baltimore Ravens have had yet another season-ending injury. And this time to the secondary.
That is true, actually.
Can't see it being a particularly high-scoring game because, you know, I think the Browns' defense will be able to get to Lamar Jackson and keep him from being as effective. Whereas the Cleveland offense is Baker Mayfield, isn't it? And not many
exactly.
weapons at his disposal.
Baker Mayfield and his one leg. I'm still going to take Baltimore here because I think ultimately, you know, if you take out the immediate form of last week, they're still by and large the better football team of the two.
And which was our last difference? Was it Buffalo, Tampa Bay?
Buffalo, Tampa Bay is the last difference, and you're taking Buffalo.
I am, just, you know, for NFC playoff seeding possibilities.
I could see that. And also, you know, I think they put in a good performance against New England, despite the loss. But I just can't see, and, you know, this is in Tampa Bay as well, so we can't even sort of say that it'll be a weather thing either. But Tampa Bay, I think, just they have the edge. There's no way that they're losing this one in the form that they're in just now, especially given that Buffalo seems to be having a bit of a slump after their early season promising look.
Yeah, I mean, it's all come a bit derailed, hasn't it? You know, like Josh Allen, he's not been like the MVP candidate people were making him out to be.
I think, you know, ultimately it's almost like they swap places with New England, you know, because New England have now won, what, 7 in a row? Something like that after a horrible start. And Buffalo are kind of, you know, since around about then have been floundering a little bit.
Yeah, I think like us winning away from home, I think New England have like won 6 away from home as well this season.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing quite well. Which
is quite a good record to have. Only the elite teams have that sort of record.
Yeah, exactly. They're nowhere near breaking a record, though.
No, but I'm sure they might do if they win a few more.
Yeah, true. I'll tell you what, then. Shall we move on to our game preview for Arizona?
Okay, yeah, so now we've done that, let's move on to our game preview to round off this episode. And, of course, it's that game we've all been dreading. And not just because of the opponent, just more because of the time what it's on for us UK fans.
Yeah, indeed. Monday night football, which is possibly one of the worst ones. I mean, Sunday night football is hard, but Monday night football is particularly odd for your week, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it just throws everything off, doesn't it? Like, I mean, it's not like we had one last year to worry about, but it just...
No, I think it's been a while
since... Very early Tuesday morning football.
Very early Tuesday morning football, indeed. Definitely an odd one to deal with. And you know, I think personally for me, given that it's, what, 1:15 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, I think I'm just going to wait for the game in Forte when I wake up.
Whereas guys like me who do stupid things like live tweet every single Cardinals game ever... You know, has to be up for this game. So, you know, got to make it do somehow.
As well as that, we've got we'd record these on a Tuesday as well. So I suspect that next week's podcast might be quite a sleepy one.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really badly prepared one, but watch anyway.
It'll also be very fresh. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, as long as it's stuff that we want to remember from this game, at least put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one because obviously we met the Rams earlier in the season and we put a bit of an end to the Sean McVay hoodoo that's been around for, what, 4 years or something now. But this is still, you know, a big divisional opponent to go in against. And, you know, I think it's not that we've, like, clinched the NFC West, but this isn't going to affect the NFC West standings. But it is, you know, still a big game.
I don't know. I did see that if we do win this game, then we clinch a playoff spot. So that's something to play for, at least.
Do we clinch a spot, at least?
Yeah, I think we guarantee the playoff spot should we win this game. And I think that's just win alone. Like, if we win, we're in. But, like, there's also different things, like, say, like, someone else loses, you know, all those sort of...
Yeah, okay, weirdies. Okay. I always forget. December football comes around so fast, but I mean, that's pretty good news. I would say that, you know, like, as I said, I don't think it wins as the division outright, but at least it's it would be a big game to win. And on top of that, you know, the Rams have swept us for, what, 4 years running. It would be good to do the same to them.
Yeah, exactly. Give them a taste of their own medicine, don't we?
Yeah, and not just that, but we would also at that point have swept 2 out of 3 divisional opponents.
And like we say, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
2 out of 3 ain't bad, exactly. But no, I mean, it's obviously a game, you know, we've talked about this season having trap games. And I think that this is kind of the opposite. This is going in against an opponent that we know can play quality football. They've had a bad run of late, but we know that as a team, they can put together a good offense. They have, you know, still quite a scary defense, even having made some additions since last time we saw them.
I mean, I don't think I've heard much of Von Miller since they've actually signed him, though, have they? It's still being just the Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey show on that defense.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it only takes one game to be your breakout game, right?
I mean, I don't think he'll find it here against Arizona, but...
No, you would hope not. And, you know, provided that our offensive line looks and stays healthy, ish, and... you know, I don't think that, despite the fact that they've got speed, I think Kyler Murray is still able to get out of there.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a chance as well that the Cardinals' offensive line gets even healthier coming into this game with Justin Pugh nearing a return.
Yeah, that's true. And also, Cardinals potentially looking at getting another offensive threat back in Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously way too early in the week before us to give us news on that, sadly, because that is what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, we won't know, but we can still, you know, I don't know. It's really, really hard game to make a prediction on, and we've spoken about some of the defensive danger men, but, you know, offensive danger men, like, would you even say... I mean, Cooper Kupp, obviously, out there having excellent games now and again. But Matt Stafford, you know, who knows about him? Like, it depends on which Stafford shows up, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there is all these reports bandering around. You know, he's, like, injured all over the place. Like, he's got niggles here and there. You know, bad shoulder, bad ribs, bad back, everything, you know.
I think that's called getting old.
Pieces. I mean, yeah, there is that. Obviously, but and obviously playing the game of American football is not good for the body, oh, is it either?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. But I don't know. I mean, yeah. Obviously, you know, going into the game last time, we were looking at that and we were worried. We thought that we had no real chance going into that game. Or I think we both thought we had a chance, but it was an outside chance. And then we went in to the Rams stadium, we went into SoFi and destroyed them, you know, systematically just beat them down. And you know, you kind of hope that that would happen again, but I just think this is a game where anything could happen. I don't think there's a scoreline that you could show me this time next week that would make me surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it could be completely high scoring, it could be low scoring, it could be somewhere in between. It's just, I mean, they've also got the threat of Odell Beckham, haven't they, who
had the touchdown
last week.
Yeah, when they said that they were all in.
Yeah, I mean, they have actually won a game now since that. So, sadly, that streak's over.
That streak's over, unfortunately. But, yeah, I completely forgot that Odell Beckham was over there now as well. But, yeah, definitely not seemed to have helped Sam Bradford. It's definitely not seemed to have helped their passing game much at this point.
Well, I mean, their passing game has still just been Cooper Kupp game wide open. I think he's like over 1,000 yards now and 10 touchdowns this season.
Unbelievable. Luckily, our secondary is doing extremely well with that this season.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see Byron Murphy like shutting him down once again, like he did in the first game of that season.
Oh man, that would rule. Well, I mean, I hope as well Cliff is, I mean, I'm sure he will have cooked up some extra wrinkles for a division opponent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's got plenty left in the playbook that he's not even touched yet. So,
yeah.
I see we see him wheel some of those out.
But yeah, I think, you know, regardless of me saying that nothing would surprise me, I do think this will be a fun game to watch, at least.
Just hopefully, you know, it's a good game to watch at like 1 o'clock in the morning, going into like 5 o'clock when it finishes.
Do you know that one of the things I've always found odd about Monday night football is, like, at least with Sunday night football, you know, if you know you're going to be in the late game, you can watch some football to like get yourself in the mood for it. Whereas with Monday night football, it's like you just need to like switch on the telly and start at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, as well as that, you have to live a Monday, don't you? You know, you have to go to work, do all that horrible Monday stuff. It's like, ugh.
Yep.
I reckon they should ban Monday Night Football.
I think I just need to work out a way to stop my phone giving me spoilers.
Just turn it off.
Yeah, I think that's genuinely going to be what I'll do. I'll genuinely like go and put it on the sideboard or something like that before I go to bed, and then I'll just get up early and put the highlights on straight away.
Oh, you're in London now, aren't you? So just show it to some youths and they'll rob you of it.
That's not the way that it works here.
Okay, I'm sure it's not.
But yeah, I guess that's enough saying that it's an unpredictable game. Why don't we try and actually predict it?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we should, really. So I'm going to go with a 27-24 win for the LA Rams. Mm.
You going for the Rams to win?
I think the Rams are going to win, yeah. Just to get revenge on us.
Yeah, I could see it happening for sure.
I will put a caveat in that, though. It will be a heartbreaking last-second field goal, which takes it in. They win with like a really long field goal because of some bullshit referee call.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's it. I like a good specific prediction. I don't know. For me, I think I'm going to go with an Arizona win. I can't see us scoring as few as 24 points based on the last couple of weeks and having more weapons back. So I think I'm going to stick out. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do the inverse of you. I'm going to give the Cardinals 27 and the Rams 24.
That's cheating, basically. Just using my score.
I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, I can't stop you, can I?
No. No, you literally can't.
I mean, we'll see though, won't we? Because obviously we've got the game to look forward to after a whole Sunday without the Cardinals. And then obviously, like I say, the Monday to get through before we actually play.
Yeah, I suppose this is our compensation for missing out on Red Zone last week. We get all the Red Zone this time.
That's true, yeah. I can deal with that, you know. Follow the football and everything. So yeah, that'll do it for this week's episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. As always, if you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Bird Gang. If you're on Facebook, like us at facebook.com/British Bird Gang and join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Buy British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tmil.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review. Whatever it is you think we're worth, you know, 5 stars is the maximum. Sadly, it should be 10. But yes, thanks for listening. And of course, join us again next week for another episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. Whatever it might look like after this horrible Tuesday morning football game.
Yep. So we will see you next week. We will be sounding quite tired, I suspect. And we'll have another game to break down then. Until then, see you next week.
Goodbye.